Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have Cameron and Jessica Riker, but before we get into it with them, we are going to have a quick minute with our friend, Justin Fatiga. So stay tuned.
When I first got married, I decided to create a mission statement with my wife. The mission statement was to be great, to love Jesus first and others no matter what. I went home. I said, I'm going to train my three-year-old son on our new mission statement. As I was training him, I said, Jojo, repeat after me, to be great. And he goes, to be grateful? Right there, I realized that our mission statement needed to change. Our new mission statement became to be grateful, to love Jesus first and others no matter what. Because I learned that is it better to be great or grateful? I've met a lot of people that are great, that aren't so grateful, and they're no fun to hang around with. But anybody who's grateful is great. May we be grateful today for all the little things that God gives us, and may we inspire others to be great.
Welcome to Women Made New. I'm your host, Crystalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. Today, we have a beautiful, lovely couple, Cameron and Jessica Riker. And we've had them on before, and I just wanted to follow up because a lot happens. And I'm not sure how long it's been, but welcome, Mr. and Mrs. Riker.
Hey, thanks for having us on again. We've been looking forward to this.
I am excited to talk to you because last time we talked to you, you just had a baby, correct?
Yeah, she's 15 months now.
15 months.
See, I knew that it had been a long span of time, but it's really interesting because I'm sure a lot has happened since then. And since we kind of interviewed you when you just had a baby and all the experiences and everything you were doing and handling them, a lot has changed, right? The world has changed. Life has changed. And I just want to kind of get into that with you and just kind of, I think it's fun to just follow a Catholic couple to see how they're handling the different challenges in life and the different stages of life, right? So kind of give us just a recap of your relationship, each of you, just to have the listeners be familiar, and we'll go from there.
So I'm Cameron Riker. I'm from a small town in Indiana. And to sum up very briefly how I made it out here and ended up marrying my beautiful wife is I was looking for a teaching job online, and I have my master's in theology, so I figured maybe I'll teach theology. And randomly, this ad popped up on my computer, and I'm not really sure how it got there because I'd been thinking about starting to look around, but I hadn't done anything with any devotion or any intentional effort. So this ad pops up on my computer, and I click on it, and I make a few phone calls, and this is in mid to late December. I send in an application because they're hiring in January, and within a couple of days, I'm offered the position as teacher, and I have to decide if I'm going to pack up everything that I own in the back of my 2006 Mazda 3 with 300,000 miles on it and drive all the way across the country to a city I'd never been to before, except for the airport, where I knew absolutely no one, literally not a single person in Phoenix. And so I prayed about it, a very quick prayer, because time was of the essence. I did an emergency novena because there wasn't even 9 days to pray a real one. And so got my answer, said yes. And as soon as I got to the school that I'm at, it just immediately felt like it was a perfect fit, like God had just prepared everything and ordained things in such a way. This was just so obviously his will for my life. And then January, which is when I was hired, I think January 21st, maybe, I ended up meeting Jessica, and we talked a little bit, but then didn't really hit it off. And then COVID happened. So I was gone for a few months, 5 months, maybe. Then I came back in August, and I'll let Jessica fill in the rest of the details maybe if she wants, but we dated for about 6 weeks, and then I popped the question outside of an adoration chapel here in Phoenix, and then we got married, and now we have one kid and one on the way, so that's where we're at today.
So Jessica's pregnant.
She is.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. Wow. Today's Mother's Day, so I'm pretty happy about that. That's fine with me.
Did you say you're due Mother's Day?
Yes.
Wow.
And then Celine was born, our first was born on St. Anne's Feast Day, who's the mother of Mary. So I'm pretty happy with the lineup so far.
I have to say, God seems to work incredibly fast in your lives, especially you, Cameron. It's kind of shocking. It's like, okay, here's the job. Boom. And then you're off and you're in your car. And then boom, you meet Jessica. And then boom, within like you meet her, you're kind of just talking. And within 6 weeks, you pop the quiet, like boom, you know? And God works in different people's lives in different way. And it seems with you, he works very fast.
I think that's probably the case. But maybe it's less speed and more things just get kind of bunched on top of each other.
Now, how did you know because of how fast things went? Like, did you have that peace? How did you discern with such short amount of time?
Yeah, I get that question a lot. And my answer is always essentially the same. Is
people get really wide-eyed every time we tell them the timeline.
But it's a great thing to do because now I can make this plug, which I'm about to do. So, so I think that the reason that I'm able to discern so quickly in marriage as well as just in other aspects of my life, it's a similar kind of theme, is because I do make a real concerted effort to pray the rosary every single day. And one of the promises associated with the rosary is that Mary will give you signal graces. What signal graces are they graces that reveal God's will for you in your life. So if somebody's trying to discern if they should marry this person or not, or if they should go to this college or this job or that job, whatever, you should make sure that you're trying to pray the rosary every single day, because if you're doing that, God will make his plan for you abundantly clear. And that's just been completely and totally true throughout the entire duration of my life. As soon as I started praying the rosary every day, it's not that I don't have struggles anymore and I don't have days where I'm impatient and tired and I just don't want to deal with all the obstacles that I have, but I always know that I'm on the right track and I just have an interior peace and conviction about that that's certainly not from this world.
Wow, one of the graces, many graces of doing a daily rosary. And the rosary is not easy. It is a hard prayer sometimes to get through. Yeah. And before I really had some conviction and really had to like get some self-discipline in my life to really push myself, it took a while for me to get on that whole bandwagon of doing the daily rosary. It can be hard. And I remember those days where I was really distracted, or I'd start praying a rosary and my mind would wander off and I'd have lists and things that would come up. And then I'd be like, wow, what decade am I even on? What's okay? And then I would just be like, oh, okay, I'm done. I tried, you know, but it's really hard not to get distracted. Do you have any tips for people out there who maybe are struggling with saying the rosary? Because it's such a weapon. People don't realize what a weapon the rosary actually is, especially now in the times that we live in.
I've went to priests and asked, how can I stay on top of the rosary? Because my prayer life has been shot. It feels like I don't have time anymore. My baby is not a sleeper at all. So I am booked from morning to night before the sun comes up and sun comes down. And the priest was really gentle with me as well, kind of helping me with advice and counsel and directions on how to upkeep prayer as a busy mom. And honestly, if you need the crutch of saying the rosary with like a leaded YouTube video, it keeps you on track. You know exactly how much time it's going to take. You can do it while you're doing things and you don't have to keep track yourself through the mysteries, through the Hail Marys. And that has helped a lot. You can just focus on saying the words and listening and meditating that way instead of doing the counting as hard as that sounds.
No, it's true.
You could say it if you're in a shower, if you're lucky enough, one of those moms that get a shower. You can say it then, or, you know, any of your daily tasks, and also offer up your daily tasks as prayers too. But honestly, that YouTube crutch really helps when you really feel like you don't have time. Well, that's fine. Play it while you don't have time. Then all of a sudden it becomes so much easier. It doesn't feel like such a daunting task to lead it yourself.
And as a mom, don't you feel like your head is always like, okay, I need to do this. I need to do that. This is, I better put this on that list. I need to call this person. Like your mind is constantly, especially when you're a new mom and you have a new child. And especially if you're pregnant, where you're just like all these things, right?
Absolutely.
Are flooding your mind perpetually of what you have to do. And it's always the next thing though, right? At least
you
that's
are
what,
hitting my heart.
Oh yeah, my goodness.
It's a living, breathing to-do list.
Constant. And you're always thinking of the next thing or what needs to be done or what's happening. And to a certain extent in the beginning, it was hard for me to even be in the moment because it was like, oh my gosh, I was in survival mode, right? Of just getting the things done that needed to be done and always worried, am I doing this right? Is the baby okay? Is she breathing? You know, like, is it okay? And I was so scared as a new mom going through these things. So I do remember that. And I will tell you what Jessica is saying right now is such truth of if you don't fill your mind with that prayer, you will get filled with the busyness of life and you won't really have that much time to think about God. But even just putting those Gregorian chants on as a busy mom around the house helps keep you focused and offering up all those hard times or all those times where you feel insecure as a mom or a wife or whatever's going on to fill your house and what you're listening to with the holy and sacred. Because I know the anxiety, I know the fear, the worry, and the devil can eat you alive in that as a mom, especially being home alone with your child all day, wondering a lot of things or the next thing that you kind of do put God to a certain extent on the back burner. And for some time, that's where kind of he stays unless you're super disciplined because you're experiencing all of this. But I think there's something to be said. Just pop that YouTube video on or those Gregorian chants or that app, whatever that may be. EW10 app is amazing. That really can help you with that. Now, how is your prayer life together and how is your relationship together now that there is this new little person that is all consuming? I know what that's like. And now that you're pregnant again, how do you maintain your relationship?
Well, I think praying as a family, one of the things we try to do, it doesn't get done every day, but we try to pray our rosary together at the end of the day or at the beginning of the day. One of the things that's kind of a blessing in disguise is we live way, way east in Apache Junction out here. And so anytime we want to go visit friends or go to the mass that we go to on Sundays or anything like that, we've got about 20 minutes in a car ride with nothing better to do. So if we're driving anywhere, we're praying the rosary together as a family. And so that's one thing that's really kind of been a cornerstone.
Yeah, it's been built in.
Yeah, we've been really blessed actually to have a long commute most places because it just gives us a perfect opportunity to do that and nothing else, you know?
Jessica, how did you settle in as a new mom and juggling everything? And I know in the very beginning, I tell moms this, and just a reminder, like after you have a new baby, you have this like mommy shock, like, oh my gosh, you're like in this overwhelm. And I don't care if you've had two or you've had 11, you every single time you have a baby, you go through this period of time. And for me, it's always lasted a good 3 months of pure just mommy shock of trying to get yourself balanced and this new life and getting into a routine and your hormones. And there's so much going on and the lack of sleep. And even the dad with the sleep deprivation, like everyone's going through this like shock, almost mommy shock. But once you kind of get past that and you feel like, okay, I think I got this. I think we're okay. I can handle this. I can do this, right? You find that mom strong within you. How did you handle all of that being that new mom? And what are some tips that you can give to moms? Because even just one of my girlfriends now, she just had a baby. And this is, I think, her fifth. And things, little tidbits that maybe you do that other women don't know about might be able to help them survive that. Mm-hmm.
So I think the last time we had talked was Celine had turned 3 months. And I remember you saying, oh, you're just coming out of the thick of it. Well, we're still in the thick of it. We haven't come out yet. And Cameron and I look at each other sometimes. We have a particularly challenging baby. And she's been like that literally since birth. Not challenging in the way of, she's a crybaby. She's never cried relentlessly for no reason. She has wanted to be entertained since she's been a newborn. She is like owning a very high energy cattle dog. She needs a job. She needs a purpose. She needs sheep to herd. She's going to be the greatest big sister mother hen ever. But getting there, we have to refine some very type A tendencies in her that have been there since she came out of the womb. Like, we've just had our first headstrong child. And she toes the line. She already is seeing, you know, where the hierarchy sits in the house and everything. We see her thinking. She's very smart. So we're still in the thick of it. We're doing well. So she's 15 months now, and the first 12 months of her life, I was still working. And that was challenging. So I work from home. So I was a corporate recruiter. I'm not working anymore, but at the time I was working as a corporate recruiter for construction professionals. And it's just kind of working with mostly secular people. I was the only one of faith. So I was the only one prioritizing having my baby home. All my other coworkers had kids, which there were quite a few. They're all daycare kids. And I was adamant that my kid wasn't going to go to daycare, especially in the first year of their life.
Did you get pushback from that?
I work with very good people. So they were kind and very flexible. But when it came to traveling after she was about 5 months, they were starting to really kind of nudge me and push me a little bit. And I was very adamant that I wasn't going to leave my baby for even a night. I mean, she was exclusively nursed. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't even an option. And in the secular world, especially, I mean, they were very kind, but nursing has been lost a lot in that secular world. Nobody nurses. It's all formula. So they didn't even understand that I couldn't leave her. And then, you know, she turned 7 months, 8 months, and they're like, well, you know, she's practically a year. Shouldn't she be weaned? Or they really didn't understand that. And it wasn't to their own fault. It's just lost in this culture of what breastfeeding consists of. So
good for you for staying strong and consistent and sticking by that, because a lot of moms maybe would have given into that pressure, or maybe would have said, okay, well, maybe I need to stop this, or maybe I shouldn't. It's probably going to be for the best, you know. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, it's really a blessing and a gift to be able to breastfeed, and not all women can, and some have a very hard time doing it. But if you are doing it, you stick by your guns, mamas. If you want to stay and you want to breastfeed your child, that's just fine, but not to be pressured by the culture and by the world. And it's a gift that we're able to do that as women.
It's so true. And sometimes you have to get crafty to do it. And they didn't know what my setup was for my baby. So I think they assumed I had someone coming over and watching her, but my sister worked with me for the same company. So we'd both be working. And part of the magic was we would pass her back and forth depending on who had calls and who had meetings. So they didn't know we both were passing this baby back and forth all day long. And when we both had to be on a meeting, so professional of me, I would just latch her to nurse and put my camera up as high as it could go. And they had no idea I was nursing a baby while on this meeting. So it worked, but I was sweating, and it wasn't, you're just praying she doesn't move, throw her hand up. You're in this business shirt. They're seeing the collar and the buttons, but they're, yes, not seeing anything below. And then there are other days where, you know, the meeting's going to go longer and she's a bit older now and she's not going to nurse and be quiet. So I'd have to put her, you know, in a jumper upstairs and know, you know, she's fed and she's fine. And she would just scream her heart out and I would be downstairs and they can't hear it. But I could hear it. And it tore my heart to pieces. And I would just pray to Saint Moses, because his mom put him in a basket and had to trust that God was going to bring him somewhere safe. I'm like, if she can put her baby in a basket in the Nile River, I can leave my baby in a cushioned jumper with a camera on her in my bedroom.
That's hilarious. So
for the first 12 months of working, it was just agony. And we kept praying for God to give us provisions to take me out of work. And that's all I could think about. My brain by the end of it was just deteriorating. I started out strong, where she would take naps and I'd be able to get things done. But by the end of the 12 months, it was just, even when she's napping, I couldn't think straight. And I felt like my work was taking a hit. And it was one of those, I can't stay at this job anymore. I have to do something less demanding. So we were really getting pushed to the point of something has to change. And God really opened up to us an opportunity of Cameron receiving a promotion really out of the blue at work that allowed us to take me out of work. And I was so grateful. And all I could think about was life is going to get so much better. Life quality is going to be better for myself, for Celine. And I can be a mom. I don't have to have my brain split. I can cook dinners. I can clean the house and have nursing being something peaceful and bonding and not something that's been stressful. And it was really interesting because now I've been a stay at home for the last 3-ish months and life is still insane.
It just shifts, so, right? It just completely shifts. But there's this piece though, I will say, because there had to be a shift too for me of Jason and I traveling, right? And I just knew I was so torn. And there's this moment where it's just like, you have to make a decision. You really have to make a decision. And some moms have to put their kids in daycare and they can't stay home. And that's just where their life is at. And they'd love to stay home, but some of them can't. Some of them make that choice. But there always is this pivotal moment in a woman's life when she has children, if she is going to be that stay-at-home mom or not. And like some is out of necessity and some is out of want. But at the same time, there always is a choice. Right. And there always is almost this struggle as well that goes with it, because some moms don't want to be a stay-at-home mom, but they know it's what's best. And you have to put your kids first. And that's what I knew I needed to do. And that's the decision that I made in my life that I thought was best for our family. But there was a part of also dying to oneself in order to do that. And it's a very hard, difficult thing to do. And some moms, they just have that. It's just in their thread of their being that God gave them, right? It's like, yeah, and they just are ready. Other moms, they struggle and they feel handicapped in that vocation. At least I did in the beginning, even just being a wife in the beginning, just the handicap of not knowing how to do certain things. And I wasn't taught because I didn't grow up with that Martha Stewart mom, you know? It was very different life for me. So to be able to do that, it is a blessing. But when you do that, things would just become all peachy and amazing and wonderful, right? And butterflies and lollipops. It's hard. It is a hard job being a stay-at-home mom and doing everything that you need to do and juggling this child who wants your undivided attention.
Absolutely. And that is really what's brought me here now. These last 3 months were much harder than I expected them to be, because I thought all my time, all my energy was going to go into this baby, which it is, but she's gotten older and her needs have changed and life is still busy. And so I had to take a step back, you know, when you're on the edge of your breaking point. And I just reminded myself, you know, I was working and that was a far worse situation of having to take care of my baby while working. Mm. And I'm thinking the grass is greener on the other side. And I'm just learning that there's always going to be something to fill your time. The grass isn't always greener on the other side. And to just enjoy the struggles that are sanctifying me right now, because if it's not this cross, it's a different cross. Just like, you know, when I was working, that was my cross at this time, but I've traded that cross in for a different cross now. And it's made the day-to-day grind so much better, because I remind myself, this is your cross. And if, like I said, if it's not this one, do you want a different one today? No.
Right. Yeah. And you're not doing it perfectly. And nobody does. Nobody does anything perfectly. And some moms feel like they're failing miserably, but you're there and you're present and you're doing your best, yes, right, in the moment. And that can be hard sometimes because we are our worst critics, right? And we can really beat ourselves up. And the devil will step right in those insecurities with that demonic dialogue to beat you down even further, right? So it's so important as moms, especially stay-at-home moms, we're in prayer. Because when I'm not and I don't keep up with the sacraments and I don't go to confession and I don't really bring God into my thoughts in different ways, I will literally get eaten alive. My demons, I need to be put in check, or the ones attempting need to be put in check. And the only way they can do that is if you really stay God-centered with everything that you're doing. And it helps so much more. Because if not, even the smallest things become big deals, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's difficult, and you have to just kind of like, just maybe stay focused. But there are moms out there that you just keep on, keep on. And you have that mom strong, because no matter what, you're present and you're doing your best. And God knows and God sees your day in, day out struggle. We are going to take a quick break with our friends over at EWTN, and we will be right back. So stay tuned. Welcome back to Women Made New. I'm your host, Kristalina Everett. Thank you for joining me. And today we have a reoccurring guest, Mr. and Mrs. Riker, Cameron and Jessica. And we talked to them a while ago when they just had a baby. And I wanted to see what it was like for a young Catholic couple who's just striving to be holiness, striving to live their vocation, being new parents, and how they were dealing with all the different challenges, maybe some tips that they could give to parents that were just like them in their shoes. But now it's been a good 15 months, and I wanted to touch base with them again. And Jessica is pregnant again. And I said, congratulations. I was excited. I didn't know that, which is amazing. But how has that shifted for you, Cameron, with now you know you have a second on the way and you have work, and you know, Jessica, it can be hard sometimes at home, and then you're working all day and you work at a school and you're with kids, then you come home. What is that like? And I know there's challenges. I know there's frustrations. I know it can be difficult, but how do you handle that?
Yeah, it's a lot of children throughout the day.
Yes, you have a lot of patience. Wow.
I hope I'm doing okay in that department. Yeah, but it's good. It's definitely a struggle to go and be with people younger than me throughout the course of the day. I teach 7 through 12, so lots of younger kids, and then come home and have to muster up some energy to try to be the, you know, father and husband that I'm supposed to be. And so it's definitely a struggle, but there's just been so much grace, and I've really, since being married, taken on St. Joseph as a kind of additional patron. Jessica and I, one of the first things we did after we got married is we went to Santa Fe and saw the staircase that St. Joseph built. And if you don't know about that, you should really check it out. It's very fascinating. But we went there, and one of the first things that we did on our honeymoon was consecrate our marriage to St. Joseph. And it was a good thing that we did that on the first day, because Jessica shortly thereafter got sick and we had to come home and cut our honeymoon short. So
we only had time to consecrate our marriage. We turned around the next day.
We did.
Wow.
We did exactly what we were supposed to do. And then God wanted to make sure I meant it when I said in sickness and in health. And so we went back, and just, I had the time off of work. So we just hung out in our apartment and ordered out food and watched movies, and it was great, just in a different way.
Wow. Oh, so how long was it after you got married that you ended up getting pregnant, Jessica?
I think it was about
two months.
2 months. Yeah, we were about 2 months into marriage.
So what tips do you have for married couples right now as Catholics? Because the world has completely shifted and changed since the last time I talked with you, right? And back then it had its own challenges. And now, even as Catholics and as society, we're facing a lot of new serious challenges. And how are you handling that as a couple? And do you get scared sometimes? Or is there any fear that you have to kind of work through with things that are going on?
So I can give you one piece of advice that a really good priest friend of mine gave to me, and it has to do with sacramental graces. So whenever a sacrament's conferred, you get the mark of the sacrament or whatever specific characteristic that sacrament confers. But on top of that, you get what's called sacramental graces, and those graces are just given for free in the sacrament. That's part of what they do. And so in the sacrament of marriage, you receive sacramental graces that specifically pertain to your marriage. And so this one short prayer that I'm about to say has literally never failed me. Anytime that I've been able to say it, I've been able to accomplish the thing that I needed to do. And it's just invoking the sacramental graces that Christ promised you at your marriage. So it could be something as simple as saying, Jesus, by the merits of your passion and by the sacramental graces that you promised me at my matrimony, please give me the graces to do the dishes or to take Celine on a walk so Jess can have 10 minutes to herself, or all these little things around the house that you don't even realize sometimes are opportunities to call upon grace and to receive grace, but they are. So if you can just learn, habituate yourself to call upon the sacramental graces that God promised you in your matrimony, God is always true to his word and he'll give you what you need to be able to fulfill your station in life well.
Wow, I love that. Oh my goodness, I absolutely love that. What about you, Jessica?
Knowing that the day-to-day grind is, days are long, years are short, is something that's on the forefront of my mind a lot now, especially as a new baby's coming. It's not going to be just Celine. And so I want to live in the moment for her, kind of similar to what we were saying before. Life goes by so fast. I can't even remember what my single life was like anymore. I don't remember what life was
right?
like without kids.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just gonna keep going that fast. So being very actively present in the moment, even for your spouse when they come in. Lately it's been Cameron gets home and I'm just begging him to just take the baby
mm-hmm.
so that I can have just 10 minutes to just stare at a wall.
To have silence, right?
Silence. I don't want to be touched.
Mm-hmm.
I just need a minute. And I feel so guilty because I'm not even giving him a moment. We're just both trying to catch our breath. But if we both just accept lovingly that this is our cross right now and living in this moment, that it's not going to stay like this forever, use this to offer up for souls you love or causes that you love and make it an offering to God, helps you also live in that moment and salvages your sanity and the relationship with your spouse when things are tense too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's true. And if you're getting what you need, and if it's that time, like when he gets home from work, even though he's probably like, I've been with kids all day long, I know it's your daughter and you love her dearly, but I get it. But going and taking care of yourself for that little bit of time helps you to be a better wife and helps you to be a better mm-hmm. mom when you come back, right? Because I've experienced
Absolutely.
That as well. So I totally get that. But we just need to do that sometimes. And as guilty as you may feel in the end, wouldn't you feel more guilty not doing that and then blowing up? You mm-hmm. know what I mean? It's like you
yes.
pick your poison in that moment and you need to pick the just you know what you need and you just need to do it, guilt or not. Because in the end, if you don't give yourselves what you need, ladies, I'm telling you, in the end, you feel guilty anyway because you end up getting mad or angry or doing something where you're just like, oh, man, I just should have listened and I just should have taken that time. Right. So it's
yes.
important that you do it. I would love to know from both of you, just how do you love each other day in, day out to keep your marriage strong? Because you're still kind of newlyweds, right? You still are. How long have you been married now?
2 years? 2 years?
2 years.
Okay, 2 years.
Oh, my goodness. Yep. I'm going to like 22 here years. It's just like, whoa, that's crazy. But how, with the kids and juggling everything, and you guys are newbies at all of this, how do you make the time for each other and making sure you're connected? Because that's important, and a lot of people kind of lose that in all of it. Or do you struggle with that?
Jess and I think have always had just really, really good chemistry. And on top of that, we're both kind of generally jovial, goofy people. And so just throughout the course of the day, we just really enjoy just kind of weird and goofy and quirky in some ways. We have
quality
little
time, high extroverts. So we have a high
yeah.
tolerance for annoying in general.
That's funny. So yeah. How does your family handle all of this? Because you don't live by them.
No, my family wants me to move back to Indiana at the moment.
Wow.
But yeah, you know, we got Celine and then another one on the way, and grandma and grandpa want to see grandbabies. So that's what they're pressuring for us to do. But my family's been really gracious and really good to us. We go home every year for Christmas, and then we'll spend maybe a few weeks or a month in Indiana over the summer, which is where my family is.
Okay, so how do you two keep up on your sacraments? Because it's not always easy just to hop in the car and go to confession on the weekends, right? Or even daily mass if you're doing it, or adoration together. I mean, that's a thing. And these are things I want to know, because there's young couples out there that are just like you and struggling and not sure how to just do this, right? And they feel like they're failing, but they're not. But what is it you do to stay close to God in that way?
Until your baby can listen and understand, you take them into the confessional with you.
There you go. I like it's that. Way to go, Mom. That's great. That's very good. You, Mr. Riker?
Yeah, I'm blessed to be able to go to daily mass at school every day. And then I try to go to confession once a week. Usually after mass, I'll just ask a priest real quick and he'll hear my confession, and then I stay up to date that way. I'm super blessed to be able to work at a place where there are priests available every single day. So in that regard, that's something that's been easy for me just because of my circumstance.
And Jessica, I know you had a really unbelievable experience in your family with confession. Can you share that with everyone?
Yeah. So my dad in this last week went to confession the first time in 30 years, willingly, on his own. And he has been a decades-long prayer project for my family. And we're all kind of still holding our breath right now, because he's not been atheist, but he just doesn't know what he believes. And he's very big into your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth. You could say the sky is purple, and I could say that it's blue, and we're both going to interpret different things of the world, and neither are false. And God really took vices of his and let them grow and catastrophically surface and hit the fan. And it humbled him in a way that he's never been humbled before. And it caused him to truly reevaluate his life and brought him to his knees to really admit there's only one truth and that there's only peace in God. So he willingly went to confession and is willingly reevaluating his life with God in it.
Wow.
And it's taken us all on a roller coaster. It's great. It's been a lot of tears and a lot of prayers to get us here, but we're happy and I'm happy for him, and I have true peace and joy. I think what he's feeling in his heart is real, and his contrition is real, and I think he's been truly humbled. And what's been really incredible is watching how God did it.
Mm-hmm.
God showed him such justice and mercy through his humbling. It was done when everything surfaced. It was only a small group of people that were aware, and they were all Catholics, the people that he coined and deemed judgmental not that long ago. And he found peace with them and protection in this time of being just humiliated. And they brought him in and gave him a roadmap to how to, you know, put his life back together. And no one else knew. And that was one of the most beautiful things, is that God protected him in that way from the rest of the world, that he had a safe place to heal and to find answers. That if he was going through this huge life event with people that didn't have God in their life, it would have went in a completely different direction. God really created the circumstances perfectly for him. Mm. And I pray that this is something that sticks, and because he's not dead yet, we gotta keep him on the tracks now. But he received communion today, actually, probably for the first time in 30 years. I'm from Illinois, and he was at St. John Cantius, which is deemed one of the most beautiful churches in the country. Like, what a statement of coming wow. back into the faith. What a place to get a fire lit within you. And they decorate just extraordinarily. They decorate that church to the nines for Christmas. So we're just ecstatic for him. And my mom and my sisters and I, and we can't wait to see where this goes.
It just goes to show that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done. All that matters is where you go from here and the decisions that you make today, mm-hmm. right? And we all mm-hmm. have mistakes. We're all sinners. But what matters most is we're in the will of God and that we are right with God. So today, everybody that is hearing this, it is Saturday. And every Saturday, I remind you, there are confessions everywhere around the country. And you can go, and maybe it's been a long time. Maybe you went 2 weeks ago. But if you know you need to go to confession, go today. Everyone I know is busy with family members, and there's a lot going on in everybody's lives right now during this holiday season. But just stop and give a gift to yourself and to God, and just to go to confession and just face it, and to go to bed at peace tonight knowing that God's got you, and that it's just, you let it go and it's gone, and that sin has no control over you anymore, and that you are shackled to nothing, right? And it's really up to you. So go to confession, and I know that is just probably the one gift God wants more than anything for his birthday at Christmas time, right? Is for people to go to confession, and then we'll go from there. But Jessica, thank you for sharing that. That was absolutely beautiful and remarkable, and it just shows it's just never too late. And also the power of prayer. And even if it's been years and years and you're praying and praying and praying, you never know when God is going to answer those prayers. So to not give up and in despair with the praying for those people that you know need the most, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I told Cameron, if my dad truly amends his life and converts, because my entire childhood was not great. My parents had a turbulent marriage. So we've had a long history with him to begin with. And I told him, if this man actually turns his life around and becomes a saint at the end of all, I will not have to see another miracle the rest of my life.
That's hilarious. Oh, I love it. What a beautiful story. I love it, especially about confession. That is wonderful.
I've got one more that's really funny. So the priest, my dad gave his confession and came back and gave my sister and my mom a hug, and he felt true peace and told us that he felt peace. And that's a big deal for my dad to say, because he just never is at peace. And my sister Corinne was going to help him do his penance, because he's really not familiar with any prayers. And he said the priest said his penance was to say a glory be, a Hail Mary, and an Our Father on Thanksgiving. And so he mm-hmm. had his penance in his back pocket, ready to say it on Thanksgiving. And she's telling me this over the phone because I'm in Arizona. I said, that doesn't make any sense. Why would he say it on Thanksgiving? Oh, I think he meant in Thanksgiving. No. I have misinterpreted it. And he had to say it on Thanksgiving.
Oh, I love it. That is great. Oh my goodness. That is hilarious. That is great. That's beautiful. That is absolutely beautiful. So with that note, thank you both for being here. It has just been a joy to just kind of touch base and see how you're all just living it out and trying to just strive for that holiness in your vocations as parents, as your spousal relationship. And before we go, I would like to ask each of you, because since I talked to you last, things have changed so much. What advice do each of you have for anyone listening right now that is in your shoes? And then also, Cameron, I would love for you to talk about all the great things that you're doing right now. So let's start with you, Jessica.
I think to all the mothers out there that have different ranges of pain and different toils throughout their day. Joining them to the Blessed Mother's sorrows is so powerful. God gave her a lot of grace for the role she had. He allowed her still to feel pain throughout her life. And seven swords pierced her heart. And taking your pains and thinking about the toils of your day and joining them to those seven sorrows really gives purpose to the pain and allows your heart to be molded to hers more intimately. And you feel much more prepared for whatever you face in your day, for loving your husband when you're tired, and being awake and present and patient with your baby, and getting done your housework, or getting to daily mass and struggling with your toddler to just stay quiet just through communion. So I would definitely recommend to take those pains and meditate on the pains Mary went through as a wife and a mother.
Nice. All right, you, Cameron.
For any fathers out there or any husbands, I think that the most fruitful piece of advice that I could give is really adopt St. Joseph as your own father and really turn to him in times of need. Because if you read in the Old Testament, the one who foreshadows Joseph in the New Testament the most is Joseph. So Joseph from the Old Testament is a type of Joseph in the New Testament, for those who know what that means. It's a foreshadowing thing in the scriptures if you don't. But Joseph in the Old Testament, every time that he's put in charge, whatever he's in charge of simply flourishes and it just explodes and does well. And that's why Joseph's brothers, his 11 brothers, have to go and buy grain from him, is because Pharaoh put Joseph in charge and Joseph led so with so much superfluity and so much grace that he was able to feed not just all the Egyptians, but his own brothers as well. And so my advice would be really take Joseph on as a patron of yours and turn to him in times of need and put him in charge of your finances, put him in charge of your marriage, put him in charge of your children. Really just give everything into his hands, just like Pharaoh does in the scriptures, and he'll prosper it and make it good and make it holy. You know, people talk about giving Mary the mess and then she cleans it up and presents it to Jesus. A very similar thing happens with St. Joseph, but I think he's specifically poised to be able to help fathers and husbands in this day and age where fatherhood and the office of husband are attacked more than just about anything else in the world right now.
Wow, I love that. Now, what are you up to these days, Mr. Riker? There's different things you have going on.
Yeah, I've got a few things going on. The one that I'd like to share with you guys, if anybody's interested, is I have a newsletter that I'm putting out with one of my good friends. And he and I are both really, really excited to share this theology and philosophy that we've been learning. But it's not easy for people to just jump in and start studying really, really thick catechism chapters or just pick up the Summa and start reading. So what we've done is we've taken different things that we've learned in philosophy and theology. We have condensed hours worth of study down to something you can read in 5 minutes, and we put it in language that's digestible for anybody with about a ninth grade reading level. So we've really tried to take a ton of wisdom from specifically St. Thomas and put it into an incredibly potent, nicely wrapped package that you can read in 5 minutes a day. So if that's all the time you got, if you're a busy mom or a busy dad, you can spend 5 minutes a day and learn something significant and important about your faith to help nourish you and help you on your journey.
I love that.
It's called, I don't think I mentioned what it's called, sorry. It's called the Daily Thomist, so D-A-I-L-Y, Thomist, T-H-O-M-I-S-T, and you can just Google it, and I'll send you over the link too, Christine, and you can post it wherever you post that kind of thing.
That would be great. I love that. And anything that makes it easier to just really embrace our faith, especially now in this season where everybody's so busy with all the holidays, right? And there's so much happening, that just breaking it down like that, I think is fantastic. So thank you for that. I think that's wonderful. Well, God bless both of you. Thank you for all that you do and your little one that you have and the one on the way, and know that you will be in my prayers, and please keep me and my family in yours. thank my guest again, Cameron and Jessica Riker, for being here and sharing their lives with us. And before we go, I wanted to leave you with some marriage advice from Kimberly Hahn. Have a great weekend, everyone. God bless.
It is really important to keep nurturing that relationship with your spouse. That's what's there before the children come, and that's the relationship that will be there afterwards. It doesn't take enormous quantities of time the same way rearing children does, but you need to keep dating. You need to keep logging in with each other and hearing each other in the midst of all the challenges from the children. Right now, we're at the empty nest stage, and it is such a sweet time. We sit and watch TV and we'll hold hands. We held hands more, I think, in the last month than maybe in the last year. We're treasuring this time to log in with each other, and it will come back. If you're in the midst of busy family life, you're going to come back to that stage, but you need to keep nurturing the relationship along the way. I think it's very important to get date time. And if it's just simply putting the children to bed and putting on Netflix, great. If it is finding a babysitter and stepping out for dinner and coming back just in time to put the children down to bed, that's great. Keep dating each other. Keep spending time with each other. I think the children's needs are louder, and there are very definitely times where their needs are obviously most important, and you have to address those at that moment. But never forget, just because they're urgent, it doesn't mean that your husband is not the most important relationship in your family and the one that you need to nurture. There is an element in marriage where you are friends. There's an element in marriage in which you fill a kind of father-mother relationship in caring for the needs of each other. There's a lover relationship. It's a very complex relationship. And if you ignore any aspect of it, you begin to weaken your marriage. So instead, strengthen your marriage. Choose your husband. Here's one idea that has made a big difference for me. Every day I choose Christ because we believe in ongoing conversion, but I also choose Scott. I set my heart on my beloved. I fill my heart with thanksgiving for who Scott is. Is he perfect? No. He goes to confession weekly, he says, you know, and I need to go weekly even if I don't get there weekly. But I set my heart on all of the things that are truly good and wonderful and beautiful about him. And when I fill my heart with that truth, then it puts in perspective the challenges. And the challenges are real, but they are minimal. And it keeps our relationship fresh and I would say growing, definitely growing.